If you would, this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua. We'll be in Joshua chapter 1 here in just a moment. We're going to spend the next several weeks looking through some highlights, some life lessons throughout the book of Joshua. In the 8 o'clock service, I said that this was one of my favorite books. And then as I was saying that, I realized that about every time I teach through a book, I think that's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Joshua is about a journey. And we're going to look at the journey that he was on as he led the Israelites into the promised land. And we are all on a journey. Each of us is on a journey, and we're in different places in life, and our personal journeys may look a little bit different. And our church is really on a journey as we minister to the world that we live in. And your individual journeys intersect in your place with the church, and together we are moving in a direction that God leads us to do. However, there are times that we stop short of what God would have for us on our journey. As we study some life lessons from Joshua, we see the Israelites for a second time on the edge of the promised land. The first time they got there, they stopped short. And this time, things would be a little bit different. Have you ever listened to a graduation speech? And you hear the same typical theme, the same statements maybe in each of these graduation speeches. You hear things like, "You are amazing. Follow your dreams. Never give up. You can be anything that you want to be." The truth is, this is not always true. You can't really do everything you set your mind to. You can't always be whatever you want to be. You aren't the last best hope for the planet Earth. You shouldn't always follow your dreams. You shouldn't always believe in yourselves. Because if these things were all true, today, instead of standing here preparing a sermon and preaching to you, I would be preparing my induction speech for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. If I could do anything I wanted to do and follow my dreams and be who I thought I wanted to be. As God prepares Joshua, instead of telling Joshua that because Joshua is amazing and that he can do his dreams and Joshua could be anything he wanted to be, God instead tells Joshua, he says, "I want to show you something. I, God, is the one who is amazing. It is his plans that we should follow. Obedience to him is essential. He is the greatest hope for our world. And because God is strong," he tells Joshua, "he can be courageous." The Israelites previously stopped short of the promised land because they didn't trust God. They got to that point and they looked at themselves and they looked at their own abilities. They looked at who they were and they looked at the giants in the land that needed to be conquered. And they said, "You know what? I'm not doing that. No chance. That is too much." And they missed out on what God would have for them. As we study through Joshua, consider what may be keeping us from stopping short. Why are we stopping short? It is a result of maybe holding on to some sin in our life or refusing to follow God's direction in certain matters of our life. What has it been that maybe is keeping us from following where God would have us to go? How do we keep going on this journey, both as individuals and as a church? As Joshua begins, the Israelites are about to enter into the promised land. The journey to conquer the land would not be easy. There's going to be conquests and there's going to be defeats. There's going to be sin and there's going to be repentance. There's going to be times of great trial and there's going to be times of great faith through those trials. And great lessons for us that we'll see in these pages in the coming weeks as we study the book of Joshua. This morning, let's begin as God charges Joshua to lead the people into the promised land in Joshua 1, beginning in verse 1. "Now it came about, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and in the Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The great Moses has passed away, and there's a new leader stepping into his place. The leadership is being passed on to Joshua, but not without some preparation. You know, God was not looking for someone who was already worthy when he picked Joshua. He was seeking someone who was obedient, and God was going to make that obedient man worthy. So who is this Joshua? What do we know about him? Well, he was one of only two people who witnessed the Exodus out of Egypt. As he left Egypt, he's only one of two left. Him, along with Caleb, were the only two spies who trusted God the first time they approached the Promised Land. For 40 years, Joshua has been the personal assistant and aide for Moses, learning under the teachings of Moses. And now Joshua is the one who is appointed by God to lead the nation at a time of conquest as they move into the land that God has promised them. There was a mission, and God calls Joshua to lead this mission. Now, there really isn't any such thing as courage apart from mission, just as there's no such thing as faith apart from challenge. You're not just courageous to be courageous. God doesn't call us to be courageous because being courageous is a pretty cool thing to be, but he calls us to be courageous for something. God wants us to move with him. When we are standing still, we either sink or we fall backwards. And God doesn't go backwards. God is always moving forward. The promises of God, they weren't for yesterday. They are for today and they are for tomorrow. The promises of God are moving us forward. And when we claim those promises of God, it may have come from our past, but it is something that directs us into the future. So with courage, we move forward with God on the mission that God has for us on this journey in life. So what are those things that God has prepared for us? When did we last, as individuals, assess God's call on our life and stop and think, okay, where are we on this journey? What does God have for me on this journey of life? And where is God taking me? What are the things that God has given us a passion for? I can remember specific times in my life where God directed me according to his purpose. I remember being a 21-year-old college student teaching Vacation Bible School for the 5th and 6th graders. I was a leader, never thought that I would learn in Vacation Bible School being the leader. But I'm teaching these kids, and this Joshua 1:9 was the theme verse. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And there was like a catchy tune. You could sing this memory verse tune. I'm not going to sing it to you because I like you too much to listen to me sing. But in my head, I sing it all the time. And for years, I've sung that verse. And that verse has became my life verse. It became my life verse as I began to realize that God really had something for me, and God was moving me in a direction. He was calling me to follow him and to be strong and courageous. And as I made decisions in my life, as I decided I was going to be a summer missionary, a summer intern, and I was going to go serve someplace, and as God sent me to this little place in the middle of nowhere called Casper, Wyoming, to serve as a youth minister, I looked at this verse and I said, you know, God has a plan. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to go to Wyoming, and it's going to be okay. And then a couple years later, when this church was looking for a youth minister, and I was asked to submit a resume, that verse came back to my mind again. And as I traveled across the country to move here in our yellow Ryder truck, driving across the country, these words to Joshua came into my mind again. And over the years, I've wrestled with things, and this reminder of this verse in Joshua keeps coming to mind. A couple years ago, when I was wrestling with becoming the pastor of this church, thinking I had no ability to be a pastor, God reminded me again about being strong and courageous and following him wherever he would lead us. In each of these situations, there was a clear sense from God that He was working in me as I journeyed with Him. And God has placed Boyd Avenue Baptist Church in this community at this time for this reason. He has a purpose. And God has placed each one of you in life as part of this church, as part of this community for a purpose. You see, God has placed you in the schools that you attend, in the workplaces that you go to, in the ministries you do, in the social groups that you hang out with, in the places in your community. He has placed you there for a purpose, for a reason, as you journey with Him. And if you are here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are called for a purpose and called to a purpose. And the question for each of us is, are we willing to live that purpose? As Joshua is here getting ready to lead the Israelites, was he willing to lead that purpose? So your courage will rise when you have confidence in your call. And this is where Joshua is in this passage, finding courage in God's plan for him. See, God did not just outline His plan for Joshua and then leave him alone to accomplish it. He didn't say to Joshua, hey, I have this great plan. There is this great place over here, this beautiful land. I'm going to give it to you. You're going to go conquer it. I'm going to step back. Let me see how you handle the plan. And God didn't just step back and watch and see what Joshua did. God was with him. God called him. And because God called him, he was with him. And God has called you. And as God has called you, He is with you. And courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It means that you fear God more than you fear your environment. And it means that you trust in God's resources more than you trust in your own resources. That you're willing to be courageous, not in who you are, but in who He is. See, Joshua had been told that his new role would consist of this. There are 2 million people that he's going to lead into the promised land. He's going to conquer that land. Pretty easy, right? Take these 2 million people and lead them across the Jordan into the promised land. No sweat. There are going to be 31 kings that are waiting for you as you enter the promised land. And there's many challenges ahead, and you're going to defeat these fortified cities, but it's okay. Sometimes things are going to be difficult, but God promises Joshua that he would never leave him. And he promises us, on this journey of life, no matter what is happening in life, that He will never leave us. So He calls us to this service that is strengthened in obedience. This verb in serving, not a position as a servant, but a verb is serving. The more we understand our purpose, the more we understand God, the more we have experiences with Him, the more we'll understand the faithfulness of our God. Remember the 10 spies said the first time they got here? And they went to the promised land. And the first time they said, it is as God said, but there are giants in the land. It has strong walls in the land. And we're not able to conquer the land. See, the first time the spies went in, they never denied the promise of God. They never said, God, what you said wasn't true. They said, God, what you said was true. We see the land. We just don't trust you enough to go into the land. We don't believe that they could claim the promises of God. God said to them, I gave you this land. And they said, God, we don't think maybe you did. We don't trust in your promises. And some of us here this morning, we have stood in the same place in our spiritual lives many, many times. We know that God has something for us. We know that God has created us for more. And we continue to say, but God, this. But God, this. But God, you don't understand this. And we don't take that step of faith and obedience. Are we here this morning willing to claim the promises of God? Are we happy just wandering in the wilderness, aimlessly not doing what God would have us for us to do? God doesn't fail. And God will stand with us. How encouraging the words of verse 5, I will be with you and not fail you or forsake you. Or in verse 6 where God says, this is my mission. This is my mission and you can join me in my mission. See, and if it's God's mission and we join Him on God's mission, then we do things the way God would have us to do it. In verse 7, He says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Success or failure in ministry, success or failure in life is tied to your relationship to the truth. The amount of biblical illiteracy in Christian churches is really heartbreaking. How do we think that we have the right to presume that ministry can succeed without being built upon the Word of God? And we presume this because oftentimes we try to do God's work without having a grasp of God's Word. It really doesn't make any difference how smart we are, how talented we are, how much of a natural leader we may or may not be, how much ability that we have. If we honor God's Word, we will succeed. And if we do not honor God's Word, we will not succeed in the things that we do. So I implore you this morning to make your time alone in God's Word non-negotiable in your life. I grew up in a King James only church. And I had a King James Bible, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not a big fan of King James English. And I wasn't smart enough maybe to get through all the King James stuff to get the meaning of Scripture, and I struggled. And when I got to college, I had my first Bible, somebody gave to me in modern English, and as I began to read it, I fell in love with God's Word. And over the years, I have noticed something. When the Bible is non-negotiable in my life, my spiritual life is good. And at times in my life when I neglect God's Word and I neglect time reading God's Word, I struggle. There are times in my life when I have got into a rut where I begin to read maybe some good Christian books and neglect my Bible. And I can read good Christian books, but it doesn't take the place of God's Word. I could read a great book about the leadership of Joshua, and there's some good books about the leadership of Joshua. And I can get all the leadership principles that Joshua did from these books, but if I neglect reading the book of Joshua out of God's Word, I am missing out. We have to know God's Word, and we have to know more than just about God's Word. See, so many times we know about what the Bible says. We've been told what the Bible says, but do we know it, the Bible? See, as I preach to you on Sunday mornings, I share stories, and some of my stories I hope are a little bit funny. And I give you some insight. And some of you might find my preaching to be entertaining and you enjoy listening to me. Some of you are napping right now, and that's okay as well, I guess. However, the most important thing that I can offer you from this pulpit is the actual Word of God. And if I don't offer you God's Word, if we don't open up His Word and read His Word and study His Word and apply His Word, then I am wasting your time. And you have better things to do than to sit here and listen. This is about His Word. God tells Joshua that he was to do all that he was commanded. And he was asked to obey God's Word. Up until this point in history, God spoke directly to His servants. Now Joshua has the book of the laws written down. And he's told to do all that is written. The book of the law is the place, the promises of God. This is the Bible that Joshua knew, and he knew what Moses had written down for him. And now we have the entirety of Scripture, the entire of the Bible given to us, and we need to know the Bible just like Joshua was commanded to know the promises of Moses. We need to know it. We need to talk about it. The Bible must be on our lips, and we talk about it freely. We quote it. We refer to it. We teach it to our children. It is something that we think about, to meditate on. Literally means to chew on it. We need to have the words of Psalm 119:97. Oh, I love your law. I meditate it all day long. And the one who meditates on it in Psalm 1 is called blessed. We need to spend time thinking about it, memorizing, wrestling with it, being challenged by God's Word. And we need to live it out. It must be moved from communication to meditation to application in our life, things that we follow. The Word must freely flow from our lips, but it has to be evident as we walk in our lives. The reason that we obey His Word is because we have it stored up inside of us, and it becomes who we are. And this is what God is telling Joshua. If you're going to be on this journey, you have to live in God's Word. And look again at the command to Joshua. Do what the Word says. Don't turn away from it. Obey His commandments, and then you will have success. The work of God is based on the promises of God. And you can't serve God without claiming the promises of God. And you can't claim the promises of God without knowing what the promises of God are. And you can't know the promises of God without reading them in the Bible. The world has many different definitions of success. The world will say what success is. The world will say, if you have a lot of money, maybe you are successful. And the world will say, if you have lots of toys and people can see that you're successful. And the world will say, if you have good titles, you can be successful. And even in churches, we can get caught up in this, in bigger buildings and more people and more money and flashy ministries. And all these things are signs of success. But what is success? Success here, God says, is obedience to His Word. If we have new buildings and we're disobedient, then that's not success. If we have no building and are not obedient, that's not success. If our church is full of people every single Sunday and we're not obedient to God's Word, then that's not success. If there's two or three of us gathered together as faithful people and we're not obedient to God's Word, it's not success. And this is true of our personal lives. What we have or don't have is irrelevant. What we do with God's purpose in our life is what matters. Obey Him, trust Him, and He will walk with us. And then we see that words of Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The question, have I not commanded you? Joshua was going to do what God had said. It was not going to be easy, but he was willing. There'll be times in Joshua's life when he would feel weak, inadequate, frightened, and perhaps tempted to quit. He would have great successes and he's going to have failures. And through all this, he had the confidence to know he was called by God. Take courage. God has called you and he will see you through. The command is given again. Be strong and courageous. You can do this and you don't have to be frightened. Remember God's promise. He has called us to his work. Remember his promise. He, for each one of us, he has called us to his work. Remember God's power. We do this through his strength, not our own. Trust in his word. Trust in him. And remember God's presence. That as we go through this life and we're on this journey, he is with us through it all. Go with us wherever we go. So today, as we come to a time of invitation, as we begin this study through the book of Joshua, I want you to consider where you are on this journey. To consider where you are, I'm going to ask you this morning to really take some time to think about where you are. To be honest with yourself. Are you here this morning? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the gift that was offered to you on that cross? Have you repented of your sin and received his forgiveness? Are you a follower of Jesus? Because if you are not a follower of Jesus, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you may be on some place of the journey, but you're not walking with him on the journey. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, come to know him. Maybe this morning you are a believer in Jesus. Maybe you've accepted this gift. Maybe you have done these things, but you're at a point of your journey where you're still wandering in the wilderness. That you're just going through the motions of life. And you're not living life with any real purpose, and you know that God may have something for you, but for some reason, you're afraid to cling to the promises of God and to follow Him. If you're here this morning, maybe it's time to say, okay, I'm ready to cross into the promised land. I'm ready to go where God would have me to go. Maybe you're struggling with other things in your life here this morning. To follow God is to be honest about where you are and come to Him where you are, to daily take a step of faith and live out Joshua 1:9 in your life. To live out Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you believe those words? Do you believe that God has commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do you believe that He's going to be with you wherever you go? Do you believe that God will direct your path and direct your life as you journey with Him? And then when you struggle, God is there. And when you sin and you fall short and you're guilty, God is still there. When you have no answers, God is there. When you have great successes and things are going well, and you feel like everything is perfect, God is still there. As we live the journey with Him, what is God saying to you? Where are you in this journey? And where do you want to go as we travel with God in this life? This is a time of invitation, a time of decision, asking that you consider what God would have for you and respond to Him. But as always, the most important thing that we can do after listening to God's Word is respond to what God is saying to us.
Strong.